Mrs. Perkins' class, it was a fifth grade class, was having a scholastic Olympics. And the kids were competing. There were going to be some prizes and things like that. It was pretty cool. Mrs. Perkins came up with the idea that every student, fifth grade, every student would come up with the greatest sentence ever written. Now, that could be any sentence at all, out of anything at all, wherever they wanted to get it from. But they had to tell where the sentence appeared, and they had to do it in front of the class and show originality and explaining why his or her choice for the most important sentence ever written was truly important. They had to give all of that information, name the author, everything like that. Well, most of the sentences were, well, famous ones, like 47 years ago, some got that one. Others came from literature, like to be or not to be, that is the question. And one child was won some points for knowing that that came from Shakespeare, but then lost some points because they thought that Shakespeare was a writer for Disney. It's all right. But there were 14 entries of, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This was kind of a gimme because those students knew that Mrs. Perkins loved that sentence because their older brothers and sisters went through the same thing, and they knew that was her favorite. So that's okay. But the winning sentence was really interesting. It was not by a famous author. It was written by a girl's new stepfather. It had been written not in a published book, but on the back of a postcard the girl had received while her mom and her new stepdad were on their honeymoon in Hawaii. And that was a beautiful sentence, and this is why she said. She said that until she received that card, she really did not know for sure how her stepfather felt about her. And on the card from Waikiki Beach, he'd simply written the greatest sentence she'd ever heard or ever seen. Charlotte, I love you. Just as simple as that. Love. It is a deceivingly simple word. And yet those four letters points to the most important emotional force in life. As necessary for our well-being as oxygen and water, one of the greatest poetic expressions of the meaning of love can be found in our scriptures today in 1 Corinthians. You've heard those before. It's a beautiful, I use them in weddings. I mean, you see them at football games, you know, they'll take them on the sheets and hang them over. Yeah, I hope some people look at that. One summer, I was riding my bike across Georgia, which I've been across Georgia, 7 times. Now, that's not really important, except every time something bad happens in Georgia, I've been there, some point or another, you know. And but it is kind of. But one of the things, the highlight of that day is we were going to go through a covered bridge. There's only a few of these anywhere. I mean, they've all been torn down, but there was this old antique covered bridge. And I looked forward to going into it, and I got up to it, and I saw that is a really narrow bridge. Now, I'm on a bicycle, so it's okay. I can get through there, no problem. But I'm thinking about cars. And right as you get up to the bridge, there was a sign right over on the side that said, yield. I thought, well, that makes sense. You know, yield if a car is coming, all right. So I went through the covered bridge, and I realized that the lighting was really good, and so I could get a better picture from the other side. So I stopped the bike, got off, got my camera, looked at that side, and you know what was there? Another yield sign. A yield sign on both sides. Now, let that roll over you for a second, because what does that mean? That means each of the drivers could sit there forever yielding to the driver on the other side. I don't know how they ever figured it out, but the truth was, in order for that to be a truly safe experience for people to get through that bridge, you had to be willing to yield to others. The whole idea of yielding is important to us today, because today is what? Mother's Day, I know, a time when we set aside to honor moms and express our love and appreciation for them. Nobody ever said that it was going to be an easy job, and so far as I'm aware, there is no actual prize for it. There's no Emmy, no Oscar, or anything like that. It is a big sacrifice, a big yielding of your life for the benefit of another person, for a child. Paul describes love as a powerful yield sign in one's relationships. He writes, love is patient and kind. Love does not insist on its own way. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. He's talking about yielding. He sees love as a commitment freely focused on someone else and on their needs rather than coming out of our needs and our wants. Love does not insist on its own way, Paul writes. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices at the right. Amazing thing, amazing description. Kathy Slattery tells of a time when she had a friend who called her, and her friend had just gotten great news that in her job she was getting a promotion, which meant a lot more money, which meant she's finally going to be able to move out of that little shack she was living with her family and buy a really nice home. And so she called up Kathy and told her all about it and told her how excited she was, and Kathy was listening to it, and she's like, "Oh, that's nice. That's so great. I'm so happy. I'm so happy for you." If you ever wonder what a fake smile looks like, that's what it looks like. So happy for you. And then she hung up the phone, and she looked in the mirror, and she wondered who was she looking at, but she was looking at herself because she had this look of envy on her face, and she hardly could recognize herself. It was a horrible, horrible realization that something was wrong, but she had a little daughter who named Katie, who came bounding in at that, she was 4 years old, came bounding in, and she had in her hand a box. What is the game that every four-year-old plays? Candyland. Come on, you all know that, right? It was Candyland. She was so excited. "Mommy, Mommy, play with me, play with me." And they laid it all out, and they got ready to play, and you know, it was all going fine. Kathy wasn't really paying too much of attention, except that she realized that she was winning, and that Katie was going to lose pretty badly. Apparently, Candyland can be pretty competitive. I've forgotten I played chutes and ladders more than I did Candyland, but it's okay. Well, so Kathy thought, I gotta make this better. So she started to cheat in the wrong way, cheating by missing a couple of spaces and all that. But Katie would have none of it. She was pretty sharp. She said, "Mommy, Mommy, you got to move. You got to move one more step. You got to get to Candy Castle. You got to get to the Candy Castle." So anyway, by the end of the game, Mom couldn't help but win. I mean, it just happened to work that way. And as she did, she was dreading what she was going to have to do with her daughter, or if she was going to cry or something like that. But instead, she said, "Mommy, Mommy, you got to Candy Castle." And she jumped across the board and she gave her mom a big hug. And Kathy thought about this for a while. And she said, "You know, it wasn't you won and I lost. It was you did it. You did it. You got to the Candy Castle." And you see, her instinctive response to her mother's good fortune was not envy or disappointment or a sense of loss. This little girl's sense, her whole, was just joy. Joy just spilling out. It was love as free given and enjoyment. It was what Paul was talking about. It was perhaps what Jesus meant when he said that we are to be like little children in order to enter the kingdom of God. And then Kathy started to think about it a little bit. And she realized that in her own life, she was comparing herself with everyone else, but with the gifts of family and security and love that she did have, she went back to the phone and to call her friend, and this time to let her know how she was really, really happy for her, really, really celebrating all of that. That was 1 Corinthians 13. I mean, love can be described in poetic phrases. I mean, it's Mother's Day. Let me read you a few of them, okay? Because I went online. I'm glad that, if you got a card that said this, "I'm glad that you're my mom because I'm not sure anyone else would have put up with me this long." This is a sweet one. "Your mom, I mean, your smile brightens each day and makes it better than the last. Happy Mother's Day, Mom." Another one: "I'm so glad, lucky to have had you as my mom. Thanks for always believing in me and doing so much for me each day. Have a great Mother's Day. You deserve it. Be spoiled." That was sweet. "Thanks for always helping me to remember what is important in life. And today, it is you. Happy." Isn't that nice? Beautiful poetry. I got 10 of them. I'll read them all to you later when you, someday. But but beautiful, beautiful poetry. Well, I will tell you that it's not poetry for everybody. It's too powerful. It's too much. Love as poetry, as a song, comes to us in books and music from all around us. But it's one thing to describe it. You see, you can describe it in poetry, but there's a very different thing to actually put that poetry into practice. There's an old story of a businessman who was just always doing his always at work. And his wife was getting depressed, and she was having a really bad time. And so what did he do? Well, he took her to a therapist, and the therapist sat down with the two of them and let her talk. And it didn't take very long before she could figure out what was wrong, what the problem was. So he got up, the therapist did, walked over to the woman and picked her up in his arms and held her tightly in a big hug. And you could just see the weight fall off of her. It was amazing the change that was taking place just in that short time. And the doctor turned to the husband and said, "Look, that's all she needs." And the husband said, "Well, no problem. I'll have her here on Tuesdays and Thursdays, because the other days I have to play golf." Yeah. He didn't get it, did he? He didn't get the message that love is not put together in poetry. It's put together in practice. Love is meant to be practiced in concrete ways, some of it by a simple touch. Studies continue to show the incredible power of touch. A hug, a simple touch on the shoulder or the arm, actually increases the amount of hemoglobin in the blood, which in turn increases the amount of oxygen that flows through your body. One of the things that I am so looking forward to is getting back to hugs. I love hugs. Don't you love hugs? Yeah. I mean, but because of COVID, we have to have the masks and all this kind of stuff. I get all of that, but the day's coming. Hugging each other is important. Love is also communicated in other sorts of concrete ways. Years ago, Nobel Prize winner Albert Schweitzer was in Chicago on a trip, and a bunch of reporters were gathered around him on a railway platform for an interview. And as they were talking, Schweitzer noticed there was a little elderly lady who was dragging her suitcase along to try to get it to the train car. And so he went over and he picked up the suitcase and took it to the car and put it in there. When he came back for the rest of the interview, there were no reporters. You know what they were doing? They were finding little old ladies who they could pick up the bags for and to put on too, because love that is demonstrated is love that can be replicated. You know that you can do things, small things, big things, expressed in very ordinary, concrete ways. And our actions, our practice of love, has a multiplying effect on people. It's like dropping a stone into a pond, and you see the ripples go out, but you see them come back as well. And they go everywhere, like ripples in a pond. When you do that, that is what love does. Love multiplies. It amplifies. And this only happens when we put it into practice. Practice your love. Part of the complexity of communicating or caring to others is that we are born and then develop into so many different kinds of personalities, and different personalities express and act out their loving in different ways. One of the tough lessons of marriage and any relationship is to learn how we are different in the ways that we love and express our love and our caring. In the musical Fiddler on the Roof, Reptevka, the husband of some 30 or so years, tells his wife in frustration, "I told you that I loved you when we got married." Yeah, as if that's enough. Yeah, and actually, what's really sad, I didn't have this written down, but I've actually heard that happen in marriage counseling that I've done, where the husband said, "But I told her I loved her when I married her," as if that's all that it takes. One of the greatest books is the Five Love Languages. It's one of my favorites. If you haven't read it, you need to read it. And if your kids haven't read it, give it to them and read it to them if you have to, because it's wonderful. Because I remember sitting at Publix one time, and I'm a person who likes to give flowers and things like that. I've been described as being romantic. I'm not ashamed of it. It's who I am, but I do that. And I saw a guy come out of Publix, and he had a biggest grin on his face, and he had flowers, and he had candy. This was Valentine's Day, and he could just tell he was looking forward to impressing his wife. And I thought to myself, because I had just been reading that Five Love Languages, what if she doesn't like gifts? And he's going to give that to her, and she's going to be like, "What is this? You know, I got to put something with these flowers to do it. No, thank you for the chocolate. You know, I'm not big enough. Now you're going to make me eat chocolate too. Thank you very much. And that big grin on his face, gone. Yeah, because what she really thought was important was quality time. Will you just sit down and talk with me? And he says, "No, I got to go mow the grass. But here's the presents. Happy Valentine's Day." Do you see how it breaks apart? You know, all of you have a love language that is your primary one, and you speak one and you hear one, and they rarely are the same. And I see some of you looking at your spouses right now. This is serious stuff. This is not just some little thing. Love expressed in tiny little ways, but effective ways, because you know the love language that you speak and the love language that you hear yourself. Most of it is that we are just so different. A part of learning to express love is to recognize those differences. And I think, use the word take advantage of them, but at least apply them. But the hard part is to put boundaries on our caring and not get burned out in doing it for some people. Some people just, they're just pouring it out all the time. For others, it's a struggle. It's really hard to show just a little bit of emotion. And they do it by learning to put into more words than they normally would and by concrete acts of service and helping. In our scripture, Peter gets a lesson on making love concrete. It's one of my favorite bits of scripture where Jesus asks him three times, Peter, do you love me? How many times did Peter deny Jesus? Three times. All right, so that's why it's written like this. But it's also very, very poignantly put. Peter, do you love me? Three times to symbolize that Peter had denied knowing Jesus. And each time Jesus responds with, very simply, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. And the message is clear. Love may be powerfully poetic, but it isn't real until it is practiced in the taking care of the needs of others around you. It's just simple as that. Mothers do that. Fathers do that. Grandparents do that. I don't know about you, but I love my grandchildren so much. There's nothing they can do wrong. Absolutely not. And if they would say, you know, Papa, would you jump in the river? I'd be already wet. I mean, because we love them so much, but we want to, it's not just enough to just say it. You've got to do it. And so let me give you just one little bit of poetry. It was written on for Mother's Day. We don't know who wrote it, but it's for all mothers and all fathers. And I really do think this is important. If I had my child to raise all over again, I'd build self-esteem first and the house later. I'd finger paint more and point the finger less. I would do less correcting and more connecting. I'd take my eyes off my watch and watch with my eyes. I would care to know less and know to care more. I'd take more hikes and fly more kites. I'd stop playing seriously and seriously play. I would run through more fields and gaze at more stars. I'd do more hugging and less tugging. I'd see the oak tree and the acorn more often. I would be firm less often and affirm much more. I'd model less about the love of power and more about the power of love. Once some children were asked, "What is love?" And one little boy said, "It's when your mommy reads you a book at night." But real love is when she doesn't skip pages. We can love differently and deeply if we ourselves can recognize that we have experienced and share in the practice of love in our own lives, because God's love for us is poetic and it's powerful. And it's practiced over and over and over again in down-to-earth ways, concrete ways. Jesus' death on the cross drives home both the poetry and the practice of God's love for us. And it gives us both a model and a challenge. Every card with beautiful poetry that is being handed out today points to the practice of love. So make that be your goal. No matter if you're a mom or not or any of that, because it should be a goal every day. You have already experienced the love of God. That's why you're here. Now you can share that in concrete ways. So, happy Mother's Day, everybody. Let us pray. Our Father, we are so aware that we love our words. And words are important. Words can hurt. Words can help. Words can heal. But there's so much more to it than that. And so we ask you that while we can recognize the beautiful words that we have to share with each other, and particularly on this Mother's Day, to share those important words while we can with those that we love, we ask you to let us go one step further and show us, teach us, lead us, inspire us, compel us to practice those words. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.